Hey, this is Sandra.
This is Jess.
And this is Emily, and you are listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, and welcome to The Big One. It's literally called The Big One.
The Big One.
In reference to the meltdown?
The
letter? The envelope?
I think it would be the envelopes. Yeah.
It's the envelope. It's the explosive ending. It's the Paris reveal. There's a lot of big ones.
Brad coming back. You know, this giant Broadway star coming back.
You know who's the most important character that came back this episode? Brad.
Exactly.
Honestly, Brad already came back once. This is just, like, overkill. You can't come back twice, Brad. Come on.
I don't know. And he comes back a third time, too. Well, I guess he doesn't really come back for the graduation.
He just
disappears. Yeah.
This is like his second announced return.
Right.
Well, we are jumping ahead of ourselves. So why don't we start the episode? And we start with Lorelai and Rory just hanging out together, reading their individual books. And it's such a vibe.
Yeah,
like, I love it so much. But then the mail comes. And...
I want to throw out one thing super quick out there. This is one of my favorite scenes of this whole episode.
Yeah.
Just so we know where this is going.
The cold open is the best part of the episode, guys.
The girls freak out. But do you guys notice Rory's voice? It's very high-pitched.
Kind of baby voice?
Yes.
I never have, like, a clear-cut, okay, she's clearly has the higher voice now.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen a lot of people reference how her voice changes from the beginning to the end. I don't hear it as much personally, which maybe I'm the weird one.
I don't really notice it either, and I don't think I ever noticed it until I saw it, saw people talking about it, but I could very much hear it in this scene. And I mean, to be fair, she's excited. She's waiting for the mail.
I could give this one to excitement, waiting for that hopefully acceptance letter.
Right, because they're waiting for the college acceptance letter. Unluckily for them, Kirk does not care.
Kirk does not sort the mail.
No, Kirk, and he is the mailman, by the way.
The only mailman.
Yes.
Is what it sounds like.
And it's he says in a later scene he's the only one, which I guess the other guy left, died, disappeared.
But you know who did die? Rita Flora, who we've never heard of before.
Oh, very sad.
Yeah.
But is still apparently getting mail. And Kirk is just, like, rifling through all this mail. And they just want Rita Ora.
Every time I hear that line now, I think of Rita Ora. And I was like, but why was she wasn't a thing yet.
She was not.
I mean, she was a thing. She wasn't a famous thing yet.
But they're waiting for the big envelope. Guys, what was your big envelope experience?
I got it.
I definitely got a big envelope. Mm-hmm. I also got, like, a tragic small envelope from my first choice school.
Yeah, oh.
So I had both experiences in this episode.
Yeah, it's not great. My big envelope, they kind of smushed in my mailbox.
Oh.
Yeah, and they actually do it to Rory as well, where they bend it, and it plainly says, do not bend on it. They bent mine, and I was very upset. But that's just because I was a neurotic child. It's fine.
Well, for Rory's, it doesn't fit, it has to. Otherwise, it won't fit in the mailbox. Yeah. It has to bend up a little bit. But yeah, I know we talked about it when we were talking about, the college applications and stuff a while ago.
But they don't get the envelope in this scene. They do not. Go back inside. They give up. Kirk is so bad at his job.
He is pretty bad. But after the theme song, the girls are now at Luke's, but join with Lane, who is tap, tap, tapping away with her drumsticks on the table, and poor Lorelai is not feeling too well. When all of a sudden, Luke comes over with new menus, and God forbid.
How dare he?
Oh, not boy. Only it new took... menus, not like just like newly printed menus. Like, the menu has been redone. He's added three salads.
And taken removed... away sandwiches.
Yes, the Monte Cristo.
Yep.
And offended Lorelai and Rory to their core.
Lane, too,
Lane
gets
is slightly yeah, offended, yeah, but not as... Lane yeah. wasn't as offended, I didn't think.
But he did this because of Nicole.
Who is not his girlfriend. She's just a woman he is dating.
I have to say, in this scene, Lorelai, this table, these three girls are the absolute worst sort of customers. Yeah. That would just make me want to spit in their food.
Well, and
just to be clear, I never spit in anybody's food when I serve.
Luke,
but there are people I wanted to.
Luke kind of fights back, and Lorelai says she wanted chili covered Pringles, which he said no. And at one point, she's like, "Why does Nicole get three salads and I still get a no?" And Rory's like, "Because he's dating Nicole."
Also. It sounds like a selection, it makes it a selection of four salads total, which is pretty standard for,
a diner?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
a green salad, a chopped salad, a Caesar salad, and maybe something else.
Chick-fil-A has, three salads on their menu.
Well, they're straight up trolling Luke here. Let's be real, it has nothing to do with the new menu or getting the old one back. They're just trolling him.
It's trolling, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he brings out an old menu for Lorelai to appease her, and she's like, "Why does everybody else have new menus?" The worst.
The worst, yeah.
I would have picked up either menu, whichever one is closer, and just smacked her up the side of the head with it and walked away. Bring me your order when you're ready. I'm not coming back.
I don't think I would have resorted to violence, but I would have taken both menus and been like, bye.
Leave.
Get out.
You're eating
just
somewhere
get out.
Else today.
Leave. Yep. Go away. But we move on to Chilton, where a teacher whose name we don't actually get, blonde lady, we've never
have
seen
never
her before.
Seen.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's handing out, a graded paper or a test and pretty much saying how proud she is of the class for maintaining their good, for still working hard, even though they're, at the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Except for apparently Louise, who is just bragging about the fact that she hooked up with Michael Mason. Yes. And she has this huge hickey on the bottom of her chin. She's getting it, and we get the first indication of sex in this episode.
Yeah. Apparently you can't, even from Louise's point of view, it's one or the other.
Right, yeah.
It's success at academics or making out / whatever else she did with the boy.
I mean, that's a pretty...
really know.
Pretty common theme throughout the entire Gilmore Girls show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have success or you can have romance. Pick one.
Madeline is supportive of her.
Yes.
She is. But, Louise, I'm not quite sure what this added to the series, to the show, to the episode. They could have excluded it and it would have been the same thing. However,
right?
they made the choice to do this. So mm-hmm. it is another moment of punishing a woman for daring to have a sexual relationship or a romantic relationship or anything of that sort. And it's just the first indication. It's small. But the other thing the teacher talks about is that Chilton is celebrating its 200th year. And there will be a speech contest where one lucky student will say their speech live in front of C-SPAN. Now,
yes.
If no one know, if people don't know what C-SPAN is, it's like the Congress like live feed.
They live feed Congress, House of Representatives, and the Senate's for votes on laws and different things that are going on. It'll show you who voted, who did not vote, what way they voted. Lorelai describes it very aptly in the future of this episode of a bunch of white men sitting around.
Basically. And there's also like C-SPAN 2, and because I think that they also do smaller things too. Like, obviously, if C-SPAN is going to be showing the Chilton Bicentennial. Right. But I mean, for somebody like, Paris or Rory, that would be a really cool experience.
Especially somebody who's wanting to write about politics.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Paris is the only one that's interested, and she's so interested that she is tearing down everyone, including Brad, who, like we mentioned before, has returned from Into the Woods, where the actor himself was playing, and now the character. And he has confidence now, kind of.
Good for him, Brad. Good for you, Brad.
Yeah. I love Into the Woods. Honestly, I could do a whole podcast on Into the Woods. I was in Into the Woods. I played Cinderella's father. Don't ask. I love it. And I love it for Brad. And I love the idea of Brad as Jack. It's all great.
Mm-hmm. I love that the only question Madeline and Louise have for Brad is, did you get to keep the makeup?
And the costume.
And the costume, yes.
And the costume. And when he says no, they're like, do you even have a brain cell?
Also offended.
I'm like, okay, like, having done stage work, stage makeup is not the makeup that you would go about a day in.
Right?
No, like, it's awful. You have to, like, overdo it all the time so that people can see it.
And it's all thick and, like, why would you keep that?
And also, if it's, I don't know. Obviously, I've never been in a Broadway play or even an off-Broadway play or really in a play. But that makeup, is it sterile? I'm assuming if there is a supply of stage makeup, multiple people are using it.
It depends. Sometimes actors are expected to do their own makeup, and so they provide their own. And then there's some where it's like you have a makeup artist that like does makeup, and they have like alcohol spray and sponges to, like, you know, sanitize between people. You wouldn't want that. Also, if he's in a Broadway production, no, he can't keep his Broadway production costume. Right?
No, that's not going to happen.
Actors and actresses rotate out. Costumes stay.
No, but Brad is back, and he's confident, even in the face of Paris, for a second.
But you know who else has confidence? Rory, who is just straight up tells Paris off for being such a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, what is wrong with you? Like, can you please take a step back? So Paris wants to sign her name, but Rory and Brad are standing right in front of the sign-up sheet, and God forbid. Right. And we get that indication that, you know, Paris and Rory are so bad. They're still bad.
Well, Paris is, like, taunting Rory because Rory hasn't signed up. Rory isn't even, like, she seemed interested during the discussion, but she didn't race over to write her name down. But then Paris is like,
about it.
Oh, are you going to sign up? Because, like, it won't be a victory unless I get to, like,
I need one final attempt to
beat you. Down. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Paris.
And then Rory signs up.
Rory has not signed up yet.
See her, we don't see her.
No.
Because she goes and she talks to Lorelai about it before she actually makes her decision.
Guys, I watched this episode a whole 6 hours ago.
But for our next scene, we go to the inn, and Suki's pretty upset, beyond offended, actually, because guests sent back the food because it was too salty, too hot, and too sewery. Gross.
There's a lot of food sitting on that table that got sent back. It seems like every single dish that she made got sent back.
And the staff is just like around listening to her rants.
There's one background actor who is behind Suki's shoulder, and like she is doing so much to emote that she is uncomfortable,
right? Yeah.
Or that there is something amiss here. Like, girl is doing her work.
So Lorelai tries to like calm Suki down, but like also she's the manager of the place, so she needs to know what's going on. And she straight up asks, "Are you sure there's nothing wrong with the food?" And Suki loses it. She's like, "I tasted it, Manuel tasted it, so-and-so tasted it, everyone tasted it, and it tastes fine."
Well, and she she tasted it every level, like the spices, the food, the salt, she tasted everything.
And Lorelai is like reading the faces of everybody behind Suki.
Mm-hmm. Looks so uncomfortable.
Oh, this isn't great. And Lorelai's the only one with, like, the courage to, I guess, step up and be like, okay, let's tell Suki what's actually going on here.
Well, she tries it.
There's so much bravery in everybody trying a plate of food that was sent back because the customer tried it and didn't like it. Yeah. Like, in this 2022, like, COVID world, actually, it'll be 2023 when you guys listen to this. Hey, maybe COVID's done. Yay, the future. Oh, yeah. No, I just can't imagine being like, yeah, stranger ate this, I'm going to shove my fork in it. But Lorelai does try the food because she says, I need to know. You know, like, if I'm going to vouch for you, I need to know.
Mm-hmm. And now she understands the sewery reference.
Which, how do you accomplish that?
I don't even want to know. But it tastes bad.
Oh, yeah, it tastes really bad, and free dessert is sent out to the guests, and Suki's just like, what? Are you kidding me? And Lorelai just has to be like, this is the worst thing I've ever had. I think
Lorelai's pretty great as she handles it, because she lets everybody else kind of go back and fix things and then kind of pull Suki to the side, so she's not, like, saying, hey, your food sucks in front of literally everybody. It's, hey, let's have a private conversation real quick and go over this.
And she...
Are you sick? Do you have allergies? Yeah. You know, are your taste buds off?
And Suki...
Do you have COVID?
Yeah. Suki says she had a bug last week, but she's fine now, right? Mm-hmm. So that can't be it. Like, it has to be something else. And at this point, Rory walks in, and, like, she's just commenting on the food looking good.
Ooh, this looks good.
Yeah, and the entire staff try to, like...
and yells.
They're like, no! So funny.
It felt very like the chorus in Mamma Mia. Like, everybody's suddenly surging together. Yeah, and Lorelai says something about, like, just be glad that you're loved.
But Rory arrives, and she starts ranting about Paris, and she talks about the speech competition, and how Rory, she wasn't really gonna enter it. But now with Paris's goading, she's reconsidering. And, like, Lorelai points out, hey, you want to be a foreign correspondent? Maybe this is a good practice for that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You want to go through your life
only doing things you're told you have to do?
Yeah, like,
Yeah.
Yikes, yeah.
A little bit.
She kind of pauses, and she's like, okay, I'll do it. And then Lorelai goes to the computer, and she just looks up, and she just says, oh my god. Right? And she runs off, and you see Suki running the opposite direction, and they yell out, Suki's pregnant. And, like, Suki's saying, I'm pregnant.
Oh, god. I love, like, best friend moments like this in TV and movies, because they don't really happen so much in real life. But I love that they were both, like, on the same wavelength. At the same moment, they were both like, oh my god, I know what's going on.
I love the best friend moment. I love the excitement between them. I don't personally know anybody who would just go straight to I'm pregnant from my taste buds are off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with Lorelai's, like, at least Suki has the knowledge of, like, when her period was and what her and Jackson have been doing. As far as I know, as far as we know, Lorelai does not have that knowledge.
Well, I think that Jackson would be pretty annoyed if she did. Because remember his whole 4 and 4 plan that
she had
thoughts on? Yeah.
I'm just impressed at these deductive skills.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is a little TV moment. Definitely. Like, let's be real. But it's no cute. One's really. But it is it super is. Cute.
And Rory so joins cute. In, and they're all just so excited. Mm-hmm. It's sweet.
It's a fun little friend moment.
Yeah.
So we go back to Chilton for the speech competition, and all the competitors, including Rory and Brad, are nervously rehearsing. Meanwhile, Paris is going around terrorizing everyone, picking everyone's little flaws and just zeroing in on them.
I agree with Rory's, like, attempt to terrorize Paris back of your speech must be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's Paris's personality to just do whatever she can, but this almost feels like overkill.
Yeah.
For her, anyway.
Yeah, Paris, I feel like Paris is going through something right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe lack of confidence, like Rory was kind of saying, but then Paris is just like, this doesn't faze me at all.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, all of the kids that she's taunting, we've never seen them before. It's not like these are, you know, top of our class overachievers mm-hmm. that we've regularly seen Rory and Paris butt heads with. These mm-hmm. are just kids who want to participate in the speech competition, and she is, like, picking on very specific things. Like, a girl sits down next to her and she says something about, oh, those braces are really shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just beyond rude. That has nothing to do with anything. Hope you don't fall
again.
Yeah. Picking on the girl who apparently tripped previously.
Just rude.
It is very rude. An entire
rendition of Into the Woods, almost.
Yeah.
Honestly, Brad said something about, like, man, her musical theater references are really on point. Clearly.
Really, I think we seriously. Have
a secret Broadway baby here.
Right?
Trying to analyze this. Do you think they're trying to build Paris up just to knock her down? Or, like, so that she has no sympathy at the end? Because, guess what? Paris acts like a jerk here, but I still feel really bad for her at the end of this episode.
This is, like, early season one Paris.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a Paris caricature? We have seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen her be this mean and outright rude to people. It's not necessarily new. Based on the softer Paris we have seen recently, it feels like overkill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think her friendship with Rory softened her a lot. And now they're in a massive fight, and so she's reverting back to
mean.
Who she was before.
Mean Paris.
Yeah. I feel like there's this weird... Like, so we have super mean Paris, and then we have the version of Paris that shows up at Rory's house, and then we have C-SPAN Paris. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for her to be so mean right now, it makes the middle Paris feel kind of weird.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, it would make more sense, I think, from, like, a story and a character point to have her be awful, 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 and then show up at the end and have this breakdown, and you realize, oh my gosh, this is what's been happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh my gosh, this is what's causing her to act this way. Of course, I mean, Paris in the middle, I love her. I love that Paris.
Yeah.
That vulnerable Paris.
Well, they we'll need get to explain it, but... what Paris's freak out is about.
Yeah.
Without just a random comment in the middle of her C-SPAN speech.
Right. But, okay, going back to this, sometime later, we cut to Lorelai, or maybe at the same time, I couldn't really decide if it was later or at whatever time. Black hole.
I think it is a black hole. This episode has a black hole in it. I took the scene that we see Lorelai, she's walking outside, she walks to her Jeep, she calls Suki to see how Jackson took the news. I take this as she's getting ready to leave for Friday night dinner.
Yes. Yeah,
Rory definitely. Has... Rory stayed late for her tryout and then probably just took the bus over to the Gilmores.
Mm. Well, like you said, she's getting a phone call from Suki, who seems very down, even though Lorelai does not pick up on it at all. But she wants to deets on Jackson. Like, how did it go? What was his reaction? And apparently his reaction was to start crunching numbers.
Oh, boy.
Which, again, I bring it up. For a guy who wanted 4 and 4, can you imagine the numbers on 4 and 4?
I'm with you guys. I get the nervousness of, oh, crap, this is real now. Like, this is real. This isn't some abstract in the future we'll have kids. Yeah, that's the obvious thing. This is, oh, no, there's one on the way. But again, your plan was 4 and 4.
Yeah.
What did you think would happen?
They would just get massive promotions at the same time. I don't know.
But I think you're right, Emily, though, where it's like, you know, when you're, like, talking about it and it's like, yeah, let's have kids. Let's do this. Before it actually is happening, it's just an idea, right? Like, people say, like, there's never a perfect time. You're never going to be ready. You just have to make the decision. And I think that's kind of what happened here, is they were like, hey, we're ready. Let's do it. And then he was like, oh my gosh, this is real. I don't know if we're ready.
Kids are expensive.
I'm curious as to if Jackson knows what the price of diapers is.
And they're going to be cheaper in 2003 than 2022. Definitely.
Yep.
But yeah, Jackson is saying, oh boy, a lot. And Suki is kind of disappointed because they didn't get to celebrate at all. Yeah.
Yeah, just the excitement.
We had a little Suki, like, Hazard Suki moment that she discussed on the phone.
Right,
where she was going to pour champagne. Girl, you're pregnant. Then she broke the window and then she tripped and broke the bottle, and so
she gave him a beer.
She gave him a beer. Yeah. Oh well.
I'm still curious about the champagne. Like, were you just gonna pour it for him and then
she got 2 glasses?
Not drink it.
But just have half a sip.
And then just put some apple juice in water or something.
Or pour it and like go for a toast and then be like, oh, actually, I can't drink this. Who knows?
None of that happens, unfortunately. No. But it's interesting that Jackson reacts this way, because Jackson is a little bit older than Suki, I would assume. Like, maybe, like,
yeah, I don't know,
35 versus, like, a 32 or something. And I am about to turn 31 next week, but for you guys, about 2 months ago. And I'm just like, kids are expensive. Kids are really expensive, especially if, like, I mean, they're not, but especially if you're on one salary or something like that. Like, woof. So I understand his anxiety, but again, he was the man that was like 4 and 4.
This was your plan.
So I have less sympathy. A little bit less.
Well, and Lorelai kind of says, hey, you know, maybe he just needs a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be fine. Keep me updated. And then, like Sandra said, Emily said, I think, she is on her way to Friday night dinner. But as we learned in the diner, her allergies are really acting up. So she stops by Dozie's first because she needs some of that non-drowsy allergy medicine. But when she gets there, there is a big commotion because Mailman Kirk has dumped all of the mail on the ground, and there is a gathering of townspeople around him, essentially all just like pissed that they can't get their letters. He's not letting anybody touch it because it's property of the United States Postal Service. And Dean is there, and Dean is waiting for Dozie's mail, which presumably that's why Kirk is there in the first place.
That's my guess.
Yeah, it seems like he's getting like an inventory or something. Yeah. He's getting something to do with the inventory. I feel like it was a scene to remind us that Dean exists.
Yeah, and that he's friends with Lorelai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm assuming maybe Dean has been promoted from Bag Boy since
I hope right? so.
At some point in time.
Yeah.
He's been working like, there it's for never like 3 years.
It's never said. I can't see a bag boy making sure he gets the mail in addition to knowing what's expected to be in it.
He could like be like a stock right, clerk yeah. now. But, I mean, Lorelai even sees her water bill. But again, Kirk is not letting anybody touch stuff. And she asks Dean about the allergy meds because it's not on the shelf. And he says, then we must be out. And I can't tell you when we're getting a restock because Kirk won't give me the letter. And she says, that's fine. I'll just get some in Hartford.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else wish we had just a moment of Kirk just dive bombing on top of all of the mail when everybody reaches for it at the same time?
That as she leaves, it is just like the chaos. Crowd surges, everybody yeah. goes for their letters, which this would be super frustrating. Like, I understand
oh, yeah.
that like the legalities surrounding like the mail and who handles the mail. At the same time, just let people get their stuff.
Your
bud.
Job is to deliver the mail and you are not delivering the mail.
Because he doesn't sort it beforehand. Because he thinks it takes the spontaneity out of it. And there should be nothing spontaneous about mail delivery, in my opinion.
You know what's my headcanon? Is that he has so many jobs that he just physically does not have the time to sort the mail beforehand.
That makes sense.
That would be part of his job, though. Like, you would have to go in early, yeah. sort the mail, and then deliver. Like, that would be part of the job description. And realistically, Stars Hollow is supposed to have, like, what, 8,000 people?
Right? How is he
for
doing
one
everything?
Mailman?
Oh my gosh. We can't get into this. Kirk is just like, Kirk is a black hole.
Yeah. Yes.
But Lorelai goes off to Hartford, and she stops for her allergy medication at the pharmacy before going to her parents. And who does she run into? Max
Medina.
He had been teaching a class out at Stanford, which got him out of the Hartford area, but he is now back. The class is over, and he is nice to her, which
he's very nice.
It's surprising because last time they were together, they were engaged, and then she ran out on him.
Uh-huh. She just broke up the wedding. Well, the wedding that was going to happen the weekend of. She left.
And we don't even know, like, what that breakup was.
No, it sounds like there
presumably
wasn't.
Presumably there was some... There had to have been something
no,
of, hey,
says,
don't show up.
Well, she...
There has to be
It's not a runaway
something.
Bride situation.
It's not quite a runaway
yeah,
bride. She
no.
didn't leave him at the altar, but she
says might have left
she
him a voicemail.
She didn't call.
Maybe.
That's part of the discussion later. But yeah, she runs into him, and... He is nice, and mm-hmm. he leaves the conversation, and, he, like, they catch up, and then he just leaves. Like a normal
yeah.
run-in at the
well,
grocery store.
Yeah, it was good to see you.
Yep. Good to see you. Guys, I gotta tell you my ex, running into my ex story. So, it's a concert, and the concert hall in New Jersey, it's a pretty small venue. It is a very famous venue, so, like, when I went, I was super excited to go there, blah, blah. And we're just waiting for drinks. I open my phone and I go to Facebook and I see a check-in from my ex mm-hmm. at the same place. And Ooh. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? And I'm thinking to myself,
no.
like, there's like, I don't know, 700 people here. What are the chances, right? What are the chances? And I'm like, let's leave the bar because this definitely ups the chances if we're by
yeah.
the bar. Mm-hmm. So we go into like the middle of the room, and there he is, right there in the middle.
Of course.
And I'm like, I would have had more luck if I would have stayed at the bar. So I ducked. I'm tall, I'm 5'9", right? So I try to duck and like weave out of the way. Nope.
You're not
Sandra?
That lucky.
And I was just like, god damn it. And then we were fine. It was basically like Max and Lorelai. We just said hi and then bye. But I was like, I tried so hard to avoid him, and no.
It was not meant to be. Plans.
I wish my run-in with my ex went that smoothly.
Oh boy.
Also at a concert venue, a large concert venue, mm-hmm. one of the largest ones in the state, and in the lawn, here comes my ex. Fiance, by the way, we were engaged.
Awkward.
I was at a concert with Sean,
mm-hmm.
And the ex is already drunk with friends and decides, hey, I'm going to hang out with her for the rest of the night.
Oh, no.
So we spent the entire concert together because Sean and I were both too awkward to be like, can you go away? But then he was, like, with a friends group of people I was also friends with. So, like, by asking him to leave, it'd be, like, asking other people I was friends with to leave as well. Or for us to, you know, we would just be leaving them. And it was people I hadn't seen. So, like, I kind of wanted to see him and catch up. And he was drunk. And I'm thinking he's very lucky Sean did not punch him in the face. Because he was also very obnoxious.
Well, my ex lives in Montana, so I have very little opportunity to see him, and that works out well for me. Speaking of not seeing people, this is an Emily-free episode, which is weird because we've had so many Emily-heavy episodes recently.
That are Richard-free.
Yes.
It feels weird to have Richard be the grandparent that we see.
Yeah. But you know what? Kelly needs some time off, too. She's been putting in the work, so
But the reason they give for her not being around is crazy.
Yeah, there have been 3 strokes in her DAR group.
They're not contagious.
No.
No. And as far as we know, when we see Emily having, like, lunch with her DAR group, there's only, like, 5 or 6 people max.
And
does this
all
mean,
like,
over half of the group?
Aren't
they youngish?
Kind of her age?
Yeah.
They're not, like, I mean, but anybody can have a stroke. That's true. You know.
Right.
But no, it is really weird. And it is, she is apparently going from bedside to bedside, offering what comfort she can. So she cannot be present in this episode. And
you know,
also,
good for her.
Right. We're down a maid, which means Richard is answering the door.
Because the other maid is cooking dinner.
Yes. They're down one maid, there's one cooking dinner, nobody can answer the phone.
Which Richard, it takes Richard a second to realize no one's going to answer the phone.
At this point, I feel like the girls are lucky that he even answered the door.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Rory's already there.
Yes, Rory is there, so
this
I'm assuming that the trip to the pharmacy slowed Lorelai down. Otherwise, they probably would have gotten there about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But Lorelai is like, oh my gosh, I have big news. And she tries to, like, make Rory guess it, but Rory is not maximizing her her realization
potential.
I'm with
Rory on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Max would be so far out of my mind that
exactly.
It wouldn't even be a thought.
Because he's not even at Chilton anymore.
No,
yeah,
because
he's on loan somewhere.
Yeah.
Lorelai is like, or maybe you have news for me. Which, do you think that Rory would have been supposed to tell Lorelai if Max showed back up?
Supposed to? No. But I can see Rory avoiding telling Lorelai.
Yeah.
And then Lorelai running into him, obviously, like, hey, did you know he's back?
Yeah.
Because when she has the thing with the article,
mm-hmm.
like, right after the breakup, she doesn't mention that to Lorelai until, like, she kind of absolutely has to.
Mm-hmm.
I took that statement to mean, like, why didn't you ever tell me he left?
Oh.
Because Lorelai is surprised that he wasn't at Chilton.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. I feel like we never got that conversation of, like, Max is no longer the English teacher.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
He's a great guy, guys.
He is a great guy. Every time she brings up Max, everybody's like, yeah, he's wonderful. And you treated him really, really badly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair and true. And I think that everybody agrees.
I wish somebody would have been like, just, you treated him really badly. I understand why.
I mean, Max did
married.
It. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why you didn't want to get married. But
yeah, totally. Like, if she didn't want to marry him, then she should not marry him. Like,
absolutely.
And so she did the right thing for her, but it was very unkind to Max.
She did not handle it very well.
No. But Richard also finds out about these bicentennial speeches, which Rory hasn't heard yet if she is the one. Richard is pretty sure that she is, because, of course, Rory is the golden child mm-hmm. who always wins everything.
Yep.
And he wants to come. Which is nice. Usually it's Emily who wants to attend Rory functions, but Richard really wants to come and see this speech.
When is it? Friday at 5.
Friday at 5.
Can they move it to 6?
No.
No.
Oh, Grandpa, I don't think they can. Like, oh, well, I'll make it work.
I'll move my thing, I guess.
So, can we, let's reiterate, the speech is given on Friday at 5. Mm-hmm. The black hole can, the black hole is there. I just want to point it out when we get there.
Yes. So, we are planning to have Richard and Lorelai at the speeches, assuming, of course, that Rory is selected. All right, so we go back to Stars Hollow, and Lorelai, as soon as they get back from dinner, goes right over to Suki's because she wants to hear what the doctor said. And she also wants to check in and see what the Jackson situation is.
Okay, black hole number one. Supposedly this phone call happened right before Friday night dinner.
Yes.
So she's leaving to go to Hartford. She gets home. Suki has a doctor's appointment at 6 p.m., like, within a week of finding out that she's pregnant.
Well, what if she...
First of all, a doctor's appointment at 6 p.m.
I mean, maybe Stars Hollow has really great health care. You don't know. I mean, so yes,
she
that is...
She has urgent care to diagnose herself.
I mean, can you just take a pregnancy test? Wouldn't that, like, also confirm that it's an it? Which is what she says. It's an it! And Jackson has still not come around. Jackson is still not excited. And while Lorelai is there, we find out he's been baby-proofing the house. He's been shoving newspaper in the outlets.
He broke the calculator.
Broke the calculator.
Like, he's creating hazards at this point.
Yes, he's trying to take away all of her knives. He wants to get rid of the cleaver because what if baby fell on it?
He wants to sell the truck because the contract.
How else are they going to afford the add-on? Yep.
Afford the expansion.
Yikes. He comes out with a giant cleaver in hand and not just holding it. Like, he does a little, like, I'm going to stab you motion
He's
with it.
He's brandishing the cleaver.
Yeah. They kind of scream at it. Right.
I would do the same thing.
And it reminds me of the scene from Mean Girls where she's dressed as, like, that dead bride, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
She gets onto the porch and, like, two people scream and, like, fall off the porch. It's the same scene in my head.
It's perfect.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Guys, budgets and minivans. It's such a tough subject, I guess. Because, like, how do you react in that, in Lorelai's situation? Like, I mean, it sucks, but Jackson also is just really nervous.
Yeah.
He's really nervous. I don't know if you need a minivan with
one kid. Before, like, 6 months before? Probably not.
I get the budget conversation. I don't fully understand coming out onto the front porch where your wife's best friend is sitting and being like, we don't have enough money for all of these things.
Yeah.
That just is kind of awkward. But he's in full freak out mode.
He is
in full freak out mode.
Yeah. And they work together and they are trying to become business partners. And I feel like when you're in that situation, a lot of the time you're more open about your finances than you would be with somebody who doesn't sign your paycheck.
Good point.
Because presumably Lorelai is signing Suki's paycheck and knows exactly how much she's making, which is weird when you think about it, but also that's the way it is. And Lorelai also takes an opportunity to tell Suki about running into Max.
I had a few issues with Max, but I agree with Rory and Suki and everybody else that he was a good guy and he did not deserve to be treated like that.
He just wasn't the right guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, back at the Gilmore Girls house, because Rory went home while her mom went to see Suki, Charleston calls. And it's one of those calls where
the secretary calls.
And she already has Paris on the line. And then they connect Charleston. And he has decided that because he is the headmaster, both of them have won the opportunity to give their speech. And they're just going to have to work together and make their speeches fit. And isn't this great?
So great.
Every time we see Charles, I can't even think of what it was that he says in this conversation. But every time we see him, he says something that contradicts his very first appearance of, we're going to treat you like an adult. We are going to treat you like this is the real world. We are going to treat you like this is the hardest thing you will ever do. And then all of a sudden he comes in, he's like, well, am I a headmaster? Am I a headmaster? I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I feel like that's his character, is a giant hypocrite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I want to talk about some background stuff real quick before we get into the meat of this scene. So Paris's bedroom, it looks very hotel-y. The comforter, the chair. There is like a bust of a head of a Greek something or another. I don't know who it is. But then there's a stuffed bunny on the chair. And it just makes me think like, yes, she is this, you know, loves the academic side, but she's still like a girl.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a toy nanny gave her or something.
She's got this like grown-up room with this little tiny bit of being a child tucked into it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for my background stuff, but I just thought it was a nice little touch. A nice little touch to have a little stuffed bear or a little stuffed rabbit.
It feels like a prep school dorm room.
Yeah. Right. It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. Like, I would love to have that bedroom rich prep now. School.
Yes, exactly. It's like a nice little reminder that Paris comes from a well-off family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. But they discuss that, well, now what are we going to do? Well, you could say you're not going to. Well, why don't you say it? And, you know, Rory's like, fine, we can meet up and we can plan it. And Paris just says, no, we'll just do it over the phone. We don't need to be in person for this. And Rory's like, fine. Like, whatever. Rory just wants to make it work. Rory does not want to fight. She just wants to do the speech.
She's
do you guys think
very
that Master
him.
Charleston sat in the background on this phone conversation and listened to that?
I was kind of wondering.
You do hear like, the click, to be fair.
You do?
Yes, you do.
I couldn't hear it, so maybe that was just my... Where
there's
I was
just
watching
like
it.
Something about anytime you're on a conference call, especially now in our Zoom world, like if I'm on a Zoom call that other people were previously on or people are planning to join, I'm very careful about what I say because you never know when somebody's just going to pop in or pop out or
that's
whatever.
The magic with Zoom though. You know who's there.
That's true.
Three-way calling in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mean Girls three-way calling was a freaking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all kids are lucky you do not have to deal with a three-way call attack.
Now you've just got big, mean group texts.
Right?
Now you just have social media.
Instagram. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we do move on. We are still at the Gilmore house, but it is the next night.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably Saturday. I'm guessing around 5 or so since they were going to be at the school at 6, which... is a weird time to
meet
up.
Saturday?
On a Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't...
Charleston tells him he has to have the speech by Tuesday.
Yeah, but, like, I don't understand the insistence on this show being, like, the weekends are... Like, you can come for school stuff. You can come
like
for projects.
Like, free rain at the school?
Yeah. Because I never got that. I don't know. No, maybe other schools.
No. Those doors are locked.
Right?
Exactly.
The only thing I could think of was, like, does Chilton have a sports team that there's, like, a basketball game going on a Saturday night that they could get in for? But it's never mentioned.
No, it's just weird. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Anyway, Paris shows up. She's like, you can't think that we would honestly do this over the phone.
Which was Rory's point originally.
How dare you?
She's a little neurotic.
Fight me on it.
Yeah.
She harasses Rory into Rory's room to where they trade speeches. They're going to read each other's speech. Paris gets all weird. Did you fact check these? Did you check the spellings? Oh, by the way, I slept with Jamie.
Yeah.
Screech.
She just throws a bomb.
What?
And
what?
Rory is super uncomfortable. She
yeah, Rory
is just
has to
like,
get a drink of water.
Yeah, she has like a, I don't know, it's such a weird reaction. I guess in her head she's like, because it's Paris, right?
Yeah.
Well, as far as we know, her and Lane are kind of the only friends Like, Rory and Lane, they're the only friendship in the group. Neither of them are doing it. They're not mm-hmm. having sex. They're not mm-hmm. having these conversations together. So this is really the first conversation that she's had with a friend about sex. And it wasn't a prepped conversation. It was dropped on her from somebody she's actively in a fight with.
Yeah.
In the middle of reading a speech for C-SPAN.
Yeah.
It's like, I get the reaction. I'm just like, oh. And then she even tells Paris, like, slow down. Just give me a minute to process this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, were you safe? Was he nice?
Yes.
Well, was he kind? This conversation is happening, Lorelai sneaks in.
She doesn't know that Paris is here, obviously. And she happens to come in at the perfect moment about, like, I think Rory says the word sex. So mm-hmm. you had sex with Jamie. And she I think it's
Paris says something to, well, what happened when you and Dean did it?
Yes.
And, oh, no, Dean and I never did that. Well, what about you and Jess? No, we never did it either. And then in a moment very reminiscent of Emily walking in on Trix making out with a guy in a purple velour jumps tracksuit, Lorelai sneaks back out.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess goes around the house to come in the kitchen door based on her direction.
Either way, sure. She comes back in and, like, makes a show of coming back in. As Emily said, Rory does, you know, ask all the right questions. You know, were you safe? Was he nice? Like, all the things that Paris needs somebody to ask her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that Paris starts to explain how this situation happened, and, you know, she says, like, I went over to study and we were talking about something else completely, and I didn't think that would be romantic. We didn't discuss it at all. It just happened. And, like, to me, something just happening to Paris doesn't make sense, right? Paris is so strict with everything, but Jamie, since the start, we've seen that Jamie always gets her off kilter, right? He gets her off the path.
Well, and also, teenage girl, you get hormones going. I can see getting caught up in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird for Paris, of all people, to get caught up in the moment, but...
But she's still a teenager.
Yeah, she's still a teenage girl in the room. In her first relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who really knows?
There's a moment where Paris starts getting very soft and she goes, I'm, and then dot dot dot, and Rory says, it's okay. And Paris basically apologizes for the past couple weeks.
As much of an apology Paris will give.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They even specifically say, like, Francie got things all twisted. Rory says, you let her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
I think this conversation kind of shows how much, like, Paris needs a friend that she can trust. Because God knows what Madeline and Louise would say if she tried to have this conversation with them.
Oh yeah, they would ask all of, like, the wrong questions. Right? It wouldn't be, were you safe? It wouldn't be, was he nice to you? It would be like, ooh,
what's his body look like?
Right? Like, oh, like... Does he have hot friends? Like, they would just...
It would be weirdly invasive.
Yeah. It was a Paris-centric conversation, which is what it needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we get the line, guys. We get the line.
Well, Lorelai comes in with the pizza, announces herself. The girls go out to get said pizza.
I thought Paris couldn't have dairy.
Yeah,
that's the line.
Just
Paris can't have dairy.
black hole number five. Sorry. Of this episode.
But yes, Paris goes to take her retainer out.
I've got the good kid.
Yeah, Lorelai's like, I'm taking you shopping tomorrow, and Rory's like, oh, okay, why? Okay. She's like, I just think it's time for new shoes. And then once Rory's walked away, I've got the good kid.
Yeah.
Blah.
Yeah, it's not a great line. Lauren herself does not like this line. I pulled up an article where she talks about that, you know, it's not always her decision about what line she can say, right? And she says, mm-hmm. sometimes I have been able to say this doesn't make sense for Lorelai to say. And other times, she doesn't necessarily win. And the one time she lost was this season. And she says, I didn't like that line. I didn't like the judgment about girls and the decisions they make. But they wanted me to say that, so I did. And then the episode aired. And here's the funny part. It says, and lots of people have come up to me and said, I loved it that you said that. So
no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I cannot imagine saying that about my daughter.
I can't either. And what is the implication? Paris is the bad kid? Paris had sex, so she's the bad kid?
Paris, who has worked her entire life to be the best of the best, to be the smartest of the smartest at this very prestigious prep school, is now relegated to worthless because she had sex?
Well, and then also, what does it say about Lorelai's opinion of herself in her youth? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. we know, Lorelai was sexually active much earlier than Paris, much earlier mm-hmm. than Rory. Does that mean that she was a bad kid? Is that how she views herself?
Well, based on how her parents treat her, absolutely, I bet she believes that.
Yeah.
It could be a moment of self-hatred in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. Of, like, she sees Paris in her, or whatever combination of that makes sense. She sees herself there, right? And it's just like, but Paris is not Lorelai. What was the first question asked? Were you guys safe?
Were you safe?
Yeah. And they were.
Instead, we learned in a recent episode of Flashbacks that we're fairly sure this happened when they broke into Richard and Emily's liquor cabinet. And then Rory was made.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, not the same situation entirely.
No.
I don't like the scene. I like the scene between Paris and Rory. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
The Lorelai of it all sucks. And Lauren agrees. I think most people agree. Even though in the article it does say that people do like that line. I have personally never met anyone who has, but if you do,
on the subreddit, I see the large majority of people hating on that line.
Right?
I can't say that I've ever seen somebody stick up for it.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
granted, I don't troll Reddit that often, so.
And also,
you know,
to
it might
be
have
fair,
happened.
Reddit does tend to have a more liberal leaning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are a lot of more conservative communities and, you know, areas mm-hmm. where, yeah, you know, having any kind of premarital sex would make somebody automatically bad.
And
I'm sure there are lots of communities that would view it that way.
I have spoken about this before. I grew up Catholic. I don't know if I've spoken about this in particular, but I am no longer Catholic, right? But I did go to Catholic school for 12 years, and then also 4 years of college, right? At a Catholic college. So that was 16 years of it. And this was the attitude I was mm-hmm. surrounded with. This was the attitude I grew up with of, if you have sex, it's kind of like the Mean Girl. This is the third time we're mentioning Mean Girls. Of the, you will have sex, you'll get pregnant and die kind of vibe.
It's like Beetlejuice, the core four just gonna show up because yes. we brought it up three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my god, Lindsay Lohan popping up.
Just out of nowhere.
You should see my Netflix special with Court Overstreet.
So, like, when I saw this, I would have been 12 years old. So think of a 12-year-old watching this. She's gonna think,
that's prime time to melt your brain. Mm-hmm.
Who's the good person in this situation? Rory, because she's untouched, because she's special, because she's still innocent, blah, 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 whatever adjective you want to give. It's just a crappy feeling.
Well, let's not harp on it too much, because we have more scenes to just truly, truly engrave in your brain how awful this is, and how awful Paris is for doing this. In the next scene, we go to Chilton. It's time for the speech.
Mm-hmm.
Richard is there. Mm-hmm. Rory is kind of freaking out. Charleston comes over. He's like, hey, you're next. And Paris is nowhere to be seen.
No.
Which is not like her.
It's not.
No. Lorelai comes in. She's like, well, maybe she's on her way. And Rory says, I tried calling her. She hasn't answered.
Does this not remind you of Tristan? Of the day that Tristan the was there? Yeah. Yeah. It's like the same exact scene, except now it's Paris.
Yep. So Richard goes in to get his seat. The girls are looking. So Lorelai goes in to hang up her coat, I think,
mm-hmm.
and runs into Max again.
Yes, it's going to be
bumping into each other.
A series of running into Max.
And they have another perfectly nice conversation.
Mm-hmm. Closure? Don't you want closure? We don't need it. I'm completely over it.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like Lorelai apologizing to make herself feel better.
She loves
and
that.
And not because she... And I don't want to say she's not truly sorry with how she handled it, because I don't think that's right.
Can I ask something? My notes, I just have Richard equals underwear, and I don't know why. Someone explain that to me.
Richard tells Rory when she's getting ready to go on, he's like, did they ever tell you to imagine the audience in her underwear? And Rory's like, yeah. And he's like, don't.
Okay, now I remember why. I was like, what is that?
Anyway, we're still in the classroom with Lorelai and Max. Lorelai is apologizing to make herself feel better.
Yeah.
Life lesson, sometimes apologies are...
not for you, they're for the other person.
Yeah.
Like, and it's obvious that this is the second time she's done this. This is like Christopher all over again with the, you know, I'm okay that you've moved on.
Letting you go.
Yeah, I'm letting you go. And it's like, all right, Lorelai, cool.
Lorelai doesn't like it when her past beaus move on from her.
Does anybody else get a Rory and Dean feeling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wonder where Rory learned it, that it's her Dean. Anyway, Max is still incredibly nice, handles it well. Who needs closure? You can't always have it. He's back. We'll move on. And then we go back to Rory, and Lorelai comes in, and they're shuffling in. It's time to sit down, and Rory looks over, and she sees Paris coming down the hall. Her hair is a mess. She's in sweats, a sweater. Does not at all look nice, even slightly dressed up. And Rory is relieved.
It's so clear, it's so obvious that there is something terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Again, having worked in a school, if one of my students, who was always put together, who was always well-dressed, showed up clearly upset, looking like that, I would not let them go on stage.
No.
Well, Charleston even says when Paris is still missing, Rory tells him, I can't find Paris. He's like, oh, well, hope you know the whole thing yourself, and just walks away.
And no
then Paris
caring.
Walks in looking like the disaster poor girl she is. And not a single teacher in this environment. Hey, Rory, can you do the speech for yourself? There's clearly something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Paris and talk to her.
I mean, we know that the guidance counselor at this school is not great.
No.
And that would be, like, the number one person. And we also know that Paris's parents are definitely not here to support her. So the other people who should be there... Like, can you imagine the flip? If Rory showed up looking like that, if her mom was there, she would never let her go on.
Absolutely
Paris doesn't
not.
Have a support system like that.
No.
I'm honestly still surprised that Charleston even let her on there, because this is putting a student on live TV looking like this.
Yeah.
And this whole thing is supposed to make Chilton look good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting right there. He doesn't fall asleep.
Guys, this scene is devastating for me. Every time I see it, and the following scene, it just breaks my heart. Something about how, like, Liza kills it. Props.
Oh my gosh.
Because she really
absolutely.
Kills it.
She's shell-shocked.
Oh, definitely.
Rory goes right into the speech, as she should. She keeps looking over at Paris, trying to be like, all right, are you gonna... Okay, I'll keep going. And it seems like Rory is just gonna keep doing the speech by herself while Paris stands there, semi-comatose. And then Paris jumps in and speaks up. And it's interesting because we cut to Lorelai's reaction at least once. Lorelai doesn't even seem to catch on that there's something wrong. Like, there's no look of concern on her face until things get really bad.
Yes, because the speech is basically, it's one of those moments of the audience doesn't know what your speech is. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it could still theoretically be the speech until it starts getting personal.
Well, and you see Rory next to Paris with her podium, with her speech, and Paris starts talking and she just kind of looks down and lifts the paper like, where is she reading from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Girl, she's not reading from anywhere.
She's off book right now. And she says, I had sex, but I can't get into Harvard. Harvard.
Who else in the world deserves to get into Harvard more than me? I've spent the entire 16 years of my life, or 18 years of my life, dedicated to getting into Harvard, to giving the school everything I have, and because I had sex, I am not going to Harvard. Rory will go to Harvard. She hasn't had sex. Then the 18-year-old Rory has to be the one to shuffle Paris off the stage because not a single adult in this room is doing anything.
Yeah.
Richard's asleep.
Yeah.
I guess I'll give him a pass because he's asleep.
He's literally asleep. Like, not I just mean, like, he's literally asleep.
So many people who should have stood up and been like, oh, cut cameras, we're mm-hmm. done. Charleston, we know that Max is there, and Max is like a well-known teacher who could have stepped up and said,
we've had an entire episode about how great Max is, how much the students love Max. How did he not stop this?
We know that the student council teacher would not.
Is useless.
would just sit and watch. It's another situation where the adults have failed the students.
Horribly.
Because sometimes when you're a teenager and things go off the rails, you don't know how to put them back on. You don't have the life experience. Like, you just can't. You're crashing. Paris is having a public, like, anxiety attack on C-SPAN.
On live television.
And it's
And not even awful. Charleston.
And you know what gets everyone, like, gasping and upset is that she says the word sex.
Mm-hmm. I had sex. Clutch your pearls. Yeah. An 18-year-old teenage girl
mm-hmm.
had sex?
Yep. Like,
oh dear God.
Legally an adult had sex. Like, yes, we talk about how these are still children. They are still kids. But, like, she's 18.
At this point, yeah, she is 18.
But Rory is the one who actually has to step over and say, okay, we're done. Like, and she has to pull her off, and Paris is still upset. She's shouting about how Rory is a virgin. And they
Pack
disappear.
Your bags, Gilmore.
Off stage. And Lorelai, who has been shocked, frozen, watching this, looks over at Richard. And like we have said, Richard has just been asleep.
Does not care.
Out in his chair.
Like, the he sat time. Down and fell asleep.
This was not like, a long like, speech.
It wasn't.
What has he been doing?
A minute.
Isn't this literally like Rory starts talking and he immediately passes out?
I think so.
That doesn't speak well for Rory's speech and skills.
No.
It doesn't speak well for Richard. But you know. It
doesn't speak well for anybody in this room.
I want to point out, is Emily still visiting the like stroke DOR victims? Like, why isn't she there? I don't know.
I mean, that's been a week.
Here.
It's Friday at 5.
Yeah.
It is Friday at 5.
But we move on to them in the, like, back room? Backstage? Mm-hmm. Oof.
Paris is crying. Rory is trying to comfort her. And kind of what do you say after that?
Well, Paris, what she says She says straight up, I'm a slut.
Oh.
No, you're not.
Oh, sweet honey baby, no, you're not.
I cry during this scene, like, every time. The shame and the anger that she has at herself because of society. Because society tells you this, right? And mm-hmm. so much so in the early 2000s. It was very much like, stay a virgin. Stay a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Well, it was this really weird, like, you have to be, like, a sexy baby. But you cannot touch anybody. Yeah. Like, you have to be this, like, sex symbol, but completely
while also
pure.
Not having sex.
Yeah. It was a tough time to grow up. If you did not grow up during the 2000s, oof. I mean, it's always a tough time to grow up, but 2000s had some pretty whack expectations of young women.
And this is our second time of a woman having consensual sex and getting punished for it, right? Just in this episode. Because we kind of blew past it, but Paris is not going to Harvard. She did not get in. Five generations got in. And she did not.
I do find it, and I'm not trying to, like, cut the sex shame conversation. I do find it interesting, though, that Rory's to comfort her is like, well, maybe you should break off on your own. Do your own thing. Start a new legacy. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Rory's trying
and
her best.
That's what Rory, at this point, thinks that she's doing by going to Harvard.
Yeah,
that's fair.
She thinks she's breaking a family legacy, that she's starting her own traditions. That's what she thinks she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up falling in line with the family legacy and doing what was expected of Paris.
Yeah. And it's sweet. It's sweet to see Paris genuinely being comforted by Rory. And it's sweet to see Rory being a good friend.
Yeah.
Lorelai does pop in and, hey, everything okay back here? I do feel like as the adult, she might have been a little more hands-on in that conversation. But after the good kid comment, maybe for the best.
Maybe for the best.
Right? Yeah.
I did ask our audience, how did this make you feel, this scene? Did it make you feel sad, angry, or just neither, right? And most people agree that it's sad, devastating. But there are some people that get very angry watching this. Jess, I saw that you voted for angry.
I did, yeah. And I mean, I think it goes back to the comments I made about the expectations of women, and especially the early 2000s. Because there really was this, like, you're either a perfect angel or you're, like, this, like, demon sex maniac. And you have to look like a demon sex maniac while being a perfect baby angel. And it's just, like, it was so hard and it was so confusing to be young and to be somebody, like, who was not sexually active. I was not a sexually active kid. It was not until I was an adult that I made those choices. But, like, it was this constant pressure on you know, me and my friends to look a certain way, act a certain way, even if you weren't interested in doing those things. Because you needed to look like you were interested in doing those things, even if you weren't, because you weren't supposed to. And it's just, like, it's this awful cycle that just goes on and on and on. And it's so sad to see Paris in this situation, because this is indicative of all of the girls of that generation who were maybe doing something and then feeling incredible, incredible regret and guilt because that was what society told them. Like, this is a show based in this time period that was saying, hey, if you have sex, this is how you might feel about it.
You might not get into school, or you're going to get punished, or something bad is going to happen. And it's not the only show to do it. Dawson's Creek.
Oh, no.
She has sex with Pacey, and immediately she has a pregnancy scare, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the next episode.
There was an entire, like, Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Oh, that entire show is literally, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's this, like, over-dramatized thing, but there's that scene where she says, I'm such a whore in Secret Life of the American Teenager. And her boyfriend at the time goes, but you're my whore. Like, that was the discourse around this kind of situation. And you know, like, say what you will about Gen Z and, like, the younger people, they are standing up for themselves in ways that we weren't able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't something that you did. And it'd be really interesting to see this same situation play out today, where there's a lot more, like, bodily autonomy and I can make my own choices.
And everything.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Girl, you're not a slut because you had sex with your boyfriend who you're in a long-term relationship with and who you love.
Yeah.
And also, sex isn't a bad thing.
Right? Like, you wouldn't be a slut if you had sex with 5 guys who you were dating casually, yeah, if that was the choice that you made. Like,
you do you.
Yeah.
Or whoever you want to. Hey.
Yeah.
You can take that.
Or, yeah. Hey. Reverse harem. Get wild. It's okay. Between just consenting all about adults. It's okay. Yeah.
The name calling behind it, though, the idea behind it, that if you participate, if you actively participate, then you're horrible, but you have to pretend you're actively participating without actually actively, it was such a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, it wreaked havoc on my body image. I know that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I think I was in my mid-20s before I finally, and I think I was fairly young to finally get that, F this. Mm-hmm. I don't need your opinion. I'm going to do me and let that be it. And I know compared to, like, my best friends, I was the first one to hit that cycle of, you know what? Your opinion doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to live my life for me.
So when I was in college, like I said, I went 16 years in Catholic school. So it's freshman year and my best friend sits me down and she's like, I need to tell you something. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? Right. What's going on? And she types something on her computer and she turns it to me and it basically, I don't want to spill her business, but it was basically like I did something sexual with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's like, please don't hate me. And I'm like, first off, why would you think I hate you? I would never hate you. But secondly, we were both raised in that way of, like, the shame, mm-hmm, right? So she thought, if, oh my God, I'm admitting this to you, please don't, like, are you going to stop being my friend? Because I'm no longer A, B, and C. And I'm like, first off, absolutely not. I love you. I loved you yesterday and I love you today. And regardless of what you did with him, as long as you were safe, it was consensual, and you, I don't know, had fun, had a good time.
Right?
I'm fine.
Enjoyed it?
Yeah. Like, but we were so entrenched in that, like, you need to be shamed for any feeling. And I remember I had another friend that was like, I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey. And I was like, oh, gasp, right? We were like, what were we, like 21? And I was like,
yeah,
how can you be reading that? That's so sexual. And she's like, because I want to. And then I was like, oh, right. Because you want to. Like, do it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're sex positive here.
I did read that.
Yeah. This is a sex positive podcast, if you hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
I will say, I got through the first 2 books. I could not finish.
Oh, I never read it.
I did. I read them. I jumped on the bandwagon. I was like, what's everybody freaking out about? Okay, because romance novels are my jam. Let's see. By the 3rd book, I was like, oh my God, I hate the main character. She's a horrible person. She has no backbone. She does not stand up for herself. He's borderline abusive. No, he is abusive. This is weird, and I can't finish this, and I put it
down. I was such a Twilight fan that I recognized the Twilight characters in it.
Wasn't it?
It was a Twilight out, like, fan,
as
fiction.
A fan fiction.
It was
a fan fiction.
So then when they made Jacob Jose, and Raunchy. Jose always said, oh, Dios mío, and stuff like that, I was like, no freaking Spanish person actually does that. That is such a stereotype. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, I watched the movies. I don't think I ever even tried to read the books. I also heard they were pretty vanilla, all things considered.
I never watched the movies, so I don't know.
They're fine.
Why don't we go back to Gilmore Girls instead of 50 Shades
anyway.
Of Grey?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I do appreciate, like, I see a little bit of myself in Paris at the very end of this conversation where she does find the humor in it. Like, that's one of the things that I really like about myself. I can be so down. I can be absolutely sobbing. And I can laugh at myself for it. And a lot of the time that's like the only thing that like clicks and like drags me out of it. But she says, like, you know, I'd better have been good at it if this
after all this, I better at least have been good at it.
Oh, and let's be real, no one's good their first time.
No.
Like, no.
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 Honestly, Jess, that's my motto. Like, whenever something upsets me, and especially if I'm talking to somebody about it, I'm like, I'll make joke. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Because if I don't laugh about it, then I'll start crying.
Right.
And yeah. I don't want that. Yeah. So let's crack some jokes to keep it light. Which might not be the healthiest mechanism, but it is.
Well,
what it is.
Speaking of keeping it light, there's at least one person who attended this speech that thought it was just great, and that's Richard.
Richard thought they did amazing.
We get out to Lorelai. Richard comes out. Tell the girls I'm very proud of them. They did a great job. And Lorelai just, okay, Dad, I'll let them know.
They'll be really surprised.
They'll
get to check everything.
Yeah. Richard hands an envelope to Lorelai that we can only assume is money. And then Richard says, I'll see you Friday at dinner, and leaves.
Maybe this got them out of dinner?
Yeah, so maybe Emily's still busy with, like, her friends, so there is no dinner.
Wouldn't that be next Friday?
Well,
This is the final black hole of this episode for me. Richard, there's like three or four.
Richard is just really bad at grammar, you know?
Richard was asleep. He has no idea what day it is.
Right, exactly. Who knows?
I expect Lorelai, like, I fully expected Richard to be like, I'll see you Friday at dinner, and he walks away, and Lorelai's just like, we're going to your house next.
All right,
should
maybe
we not?
Bye.
Are you not going to be there? Anyway, Lorelai starts looking for her coat. That's what she tells Rory. I will find our coats. They are not in the hallway. Somebody at Chilton finally cracks a joke of, if you can't find your coat here, there's some in this classroom. And if you can't find it there, stairway to the roof is on the left. Or something
like
that.
Yeah, because Lorelai said something about jumping off.
I'll kill
off.
Myself if
yeah,
I can't
yeah.
find it.
Because
she loves this coat.
I think it's probably her black cashmere coat that has gotten a lot of play this season.
It has. She wore this coat on her date with Alex.
Yeah.
Alex.
She goes.
Alex. Who is this Alex?
She goes into the classroom, gets her coat, and who comes in? Max.
Mm-hmm.
Max Medina is back.
And does this weird transphobic joke, like, it starts off.
It starts
great.
Off really nice.
And then just ends awful.
It starts off, I will support the people wearing skirts if they want to, and I will clap at them in the pride parade, and then I'll walk away and pretend I don't know them. What?
It was strangely...
You were doing so good!
It was strangely liberal, right?
Yeah.
Because at this point, this would have been seen as liberal as hell, right? Mm. This would have been the most democratic statement you could have made. And, like, now, 20 years removed, it's like, oof. Rough.
And then they both just lean in and kiss.
Yeah, there's really no fanfare. It's just, they kiss.
It's just, and they both lean in. It's not one or the other. They both lean in and kiss, and they finish, and Max is, I guess I'm not over it. And he leaves. And that's kind of, okay.
Yep.
Farewell, Alex?
Yeah, Alex is, whatever.
We never hear about
mentioned.
Him again, right?
He's mentioned.
No, we have one more mention in this episode. Okay, so real quick, we'll cut to Suki's. Jackson and Suki are in bed.
Jackson's pajamas.
Jackson's just kind of... Jackson has his wrestling pajamas on.
Picture pajamas!
And he kind of leans over and tries to kind of give Suki a kiss on the cheek, give her some love. And Suki's like, Jackson, no. I'm not getting rid of my knives. I'm not doing this. We're not getting an add-on. I'm not doing any of this. And Jackson, have I told you how happy I am?
That's
no, you nice. Did. You haven't.
And, like, she's so tired.
Yeah.
She just wanted to hear that he was happy.
Yeah.
So when he finally says it, and then he's like, but the knives. And she's just like, nope.
No.
Nope.
Go to sleep, Jackson. Go to sleep. If I could just show you the statistics.
No.
You mean if baby rolled off the counter into the open knife drawer? Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah. I'd like to see those statistics, actually. How right? often does that happen, Jackson?
What magazine are you looking at? What articles are you reading? Anyway, Jackson and Suki seem to be good. We get our final scene of the episode. The girls are home. They're walking to the mailbox. Rory has a ton of questions. Lorelai has told her about the kiss.
Right. I feel like Lorelai has shared more than usual. Like, usually she's like, she doesn't tell the little details. This time she told Max to Rory, to Suki, to anyone who would listen about Max, she would have told her.
Yeah.
And now even the kiss. And by the way, we didn't really mention, but this is the second time that Max and Lorelai have kissed during a Chilton event. And
I was thinking that, like, Lorelai, stop making out right? with your kid's teacher in the school.
During events, while people could walk past, like, stop doing it.
And it's never when you guys are, like, happily together. It's when you're trying to break up with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's when you've been apart for over a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's early season two, so it's almost, it's like later season three, so over a year.
Yeah. But Rory's asking questions. What does this mean? What's going to happen? What about Alex?
Yeah, that's our last message.
And all Lorelai can say is, I don't know. Mentioned. I don't know. They get to the mailbox and open it up.
And there's some big envelopes.
There are three large envelopes in there.
The big three.
And what is it that Lorelai says? You must be the biggest virgin in the world.
That is what she says, yeah. And Rory ends the episode with, do you think Paris will ever have sex again? I don't know if Lorelai said that. One of them says that.
Yeah.
Says that.
One of them Lorelai says it, because, Lorelai has been saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then when they get to the mailbox, Lorelai hands her the Harvard envelope and says, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going
to do? I don't know. And so then Rory is saying, I don't know, I don't know. And then as they're walking in, Lorelai says, do you think Paris will ever have sex again? And Rory says, I don't know. And it sounded like voiceover. It sounded like maybe something they added on. But
yeah, I mean, their backs are to us. You can't really see.
Gotta get one more dig in at Paris. Don't forget, she had sex.
Paris had sex.
If this entire episode wasn't one big shame on you for having sex, that joke could almost be funny.
Right?
Almost. Yeah.
I mean, like, also, like, Paris went through something traumatic here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like a detriment, right? Like, she's must be thinking in her head. I think that's also a Secret Life of the American Teenager of, like, I had sex and my dad died.
There's, everything that can go wrong, I think, happened in that show.
But, like, that, like, sex is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I only saw one or two episodes, and I got very salty that a 16 and 17-year-old girl and boy were living in, like, a full nice apartment with a $60,000 SUV.
There's nothing real about that show. It's just absolute garbage.
What I'm trying to say is that Paris has this, like, could have this connotation of sex equals bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which also is a Buffy episode. Anyways. And it could mean that she never gets in a relationship again like that, right? Because she has like this Lane. Experience. Exactly.
I will say Paris gets a little bit of redemption. It seems like she goes on to have a fairly healthy relationship life.
Well, and
I mean,
past Asher's the old man not thing. The most yes, healthy, but yes, I understand what you mean.
That's not related to... Yeah. I don't feel like those two are related issues. Asher's daddy issues. This is once we get to Doyle.
God, when we get there. Anyways, that's the episode, guys. La 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 la. I'm gonna say it. This episode kind of triggers me in bad ways. I don't like it. It makes me feel sad and kind of angry.
Yeah.
It's a downer. There's not really anything, like, super redeeming about it. Like, you have the couple of Kirk scenes that are kind of funny.
Yeah. We got no Jess.
Have... Do we have a townsperson of the week?
I do have a townsperson of the week.
So.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suki. Okay. She's pregnant.
Yes. Perfect.
That was my... What about you, Jess?
I was thinking Rory.
Okay.
Just because, like, apart from firing back at Paris, you know, when Paris is, like, you know, snapping at people,
she's pretty... for defending herself.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's pretty even keel the whole episode. She steps up as a friend to Paris. She's very gracious in her acceptance of Paris's non-apology. She's obviously the one person who has Paris's back during that speech when nobody else does. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, where did Paris go when Lorelai and Rory went home? Did she go home to her empty house? Did she go home to Nanny? Did she have to tell Nanny why she was upset? Like, was Nanny watching on C-SPAN? Her.
I hope she went to Jamie.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah. That would
Jamie
be sweet.
Probably was watching her on C-SPAN.
Jamie probably Ooh. Was. Yikes.
Oh my gosh.
That is Jamie, cringe.
You know what? I'm gonna go with, and this will make me feel better, I'm gonna go with Jamie showed up at Chilton.
That somehow like that doesn't make me feel better.
No, that makes me feel better, because it's him seeing his girlfriend go through this horrible ordeal, and instead of, like, running away, he's like, she needs help, I'm gonna go take care of her, because she doesn't have anybody else to take care of her.
Yeah, but so that was my thought, was Rory.
How about you, Emily? Do you have anything?
I don't know. I mean, I could support either of them. I don't know if I support one over the other.
Suki is literally just because she got pregnant. Rory does seem like she
handled things well. She was
a good friend.
She was an adult in this episode in a show that routinely treats her as a child.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll throw my vote in behind Rory.
Okay. So congrats, Rory. You're a great friend this week, and you are our townsperson of the week.
Yeah, congrats. Yay. It's not because you're a virgin. It's because you're a good friend.
It's in spite of you being a virgin. That is not the case.
No. We support virgins as well. Just throwing that out there. Oh, if you want to stay a virgin, you don't have to have sex. Too.
Do whatever feels right to you.
Right. And with that was the episode. So my name, as always, is Sandra.
And I am Emily.
And this was Jess, and we'll see you.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to Town Meeting, a Gilmore Girls rewatch podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so on Instagram or Twitter at Town Meeting Pod. Or if you'd like to send us an email, send it to townmeetingpod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to toss us a couple bucks and support the podcast, find us on buymeacoffee.com/townmeeting.